Okay, so Valerie, whenever you're ready.
Hi, Helen. Thank you.
Hi.
Okay, so my question has to do with the idea that there's a wounded child in you, an inner child, a wounded inner child, and spiritual bypassing. So I've been in counseling and I've been told, I have a wounded inner child, and the way I behave towards my inner child is dismissive or corrective, or you shouldn't, or you should be over this by
Just get your
now.
act together. Yeah, get on with it. Yeah.
You
And then we make that even
know,
worse, right? When we get to this kind of, it's just thoughts. It doesn't exist. It's just like, it should just disappear. Why is it still here?
right. So I've been on a journey to be more recognizing, compassionate, loving to that aspect of myself. But I've also been told that wanting to realize the self is bypassing, it's just a spiritual bypass because you don't want to deal with this, or, so
Does it
is
feel
there,
like that? Does it feeel like you're bypassing? Does it feel like you're avoiding? Or does it feel more like I'm finally coming to a place where I can actually really authentically look at this stuff? Like, as painful as it is, I can feel it without running from it. It might feel a little like bypassing because we just kind of go inwards. And sort of just leave that stuff be for a while because we can't look at it non-judgmentally as a person. I don't want that stuff. I just don't, that kind of feeling. As we go inwards and just leave it be for a while, we see what we really are, then actually this great love comes for that. I really want to look at this from the place of truth. And from there, you wouldn't want to say it's just it was fine. The only time I could actually finally just look at this, there's this child in me that didn't feel, yes, it's made of thoughts, yes, it doesn't exist, but it still has its stories running, and it didn't feel like it got enough love and approval and all the things it thought it needed. It was terrified of life and itself and everything. So only as the self could you finally look at that and understand why that little child is there. And it was just like this great big hug. Come and sit down. It's okay. We'll look at this. And it felt like bypassing at first because the only way I could just had to leave trying to sort that stuff out from the egoic sense of self wasn't working. So I had to leave it be for a while because all I could do was judge it from where I was trying to. I'll understand you as long as you go away. That's not real understanding, is it?
No, and I think also what I was doing is my ego was believing something like, well, that's what you're doing. You're bypassing. You're just by. But what the when you phrase put it like, what am I feeling? You're exactly right. I'm not
All
feeling.
bypassing the whole time. I don't want to look at that stuff. I don't want to look at it. It should just go away. I mean, that's the ultimate bypassing. It's not real. We get even very spiritual about the way we bypass. It doesn't exist. I'm not the separate person, just, and that is ultimately true, but where that's coming from, it doesn't exist. So I can finally look at it without identifying with it as it. I can finally just look at those stories and be with them. Because before, as a separate being, I've got no choice but to believe them and fall back into them. Actually, all you can do as a separate being is bypass them.
That's
Because the
so
only way you've got it's a survival mechanism, right? If you felt all the pain that you feel as a separate being all the time, you'd be in a real lot of trouble real quick. You spend the whole day in bed crying or something.
Oh. Wow, that's very helpful. Brought some
And
tears.
it's that's the unconditional love of the self. I know that you're not true, but I'm gonna love you anyway. because I understand where this arose from these wrong ideas that seemed very real. Mm-hmm. And when I was a child, it really seemed extraordinarily true what was happening. And those beliefs were played out and lived through over and over again. And for this body, who knows how many other bodies have come and gone with the same stories playing. And it never was real, but it seemed so very real. So there's compassion there finally, isn't there? For when you start to feel compassion for the ego, that's when it's done, it's finished, because it's only still here because we're pushing against it. Whatever you resist persists, whatever you look at goes away. Finally now, you realizing what you are, and enough, what comes with that is compassion and non-judgmental. Mind would look at mine and say, that's just a story. Surely it's not true. I don't get me wrong, I did a fair amount. I was an Olympic bypasser, couldn't deal with my life at all. So, you know, I am the self, you know, none of this is real. You know, I hung out there for a good few years. That's all I could do. So I get it. But there's a deeper intimacy and love, isn't there, that wants to look at this stuff now, which is what lesson two is about. What happens when I look at it from here now as the self? And I can just finally embrace that small child and give it what it was looking for.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you, Helen. That's perfect.
Good question. I'm glad you brought that forward. Thank you. Okay. Anna?
Hi, Helen.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Hi. I can. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for taking my question. My question is about formulating a question for lesson two this week. I've had a difficult time doing it. I don't know if I'm.
It's very normal.
Resisting it.
Yeah.
I looked at what is most important to me to address right now, and it's the physical manifestation, like in my body.
Mm-hmm.
It's multiple health challenges, and really it's been going on for quite a long time, but it's most especially quite challenging over the past 6 years or so. And when I look at the emotion, it actually this week it came quite it went to a very dark place. It went to
despair and
apathy.
And I'm never gonna be able to change this.
And then questions that came from that place, it just seemed like I couldn't move beyond the answers to that question. The question that came for me was, is it really true that life is suffering?
Yeah.
And I feel there might be a better way to get under this or approach it or something that
idea that came up when you looked at it from the despair, from the there's no point in even trying anymore, it's just hopeless, there's no, this is just life is suffering. Is that kind of the idea that came up out of it?
Yeah, that also that it's just getting worse.
Okay, so when you have that kind of belief, we have a tendency, and I did too, because it wasn't about health issues. It was about my financial situation, a mother of four. And no matter what I did, I just couldn't. Everything I did seemed to make it worse. Everything. Mm-hmm. My very first memory in this lifetime is of not enoughness. You know, being spoken about around me, and this fear of not having enough. So I went through pretty much every range of emotions I could around this particular issue. And you've probably been through the whole, when you first tried to heal yourself, maybe there was frustration and anger because it didn't happen. And then sadness, you know, as I keep trying, and then self-recrimination and blame and self-hatred that you can't do it. And finally, as this desire goes unfulfilled for longer, this desire for healing, we were sliding down lower into the vibrational frequency of the emotion. So despair, apathy, you know, those kind of really, and even maybe a grieving, that there's, I'm letting go of the idea even of me being able to have anything different than this. You know, I'll grieve for that life that I've lost, but I'm never going to get it back. You know, that wellness and things like that. And I'm sort of laying it on a little thick, but maybe that's where you've been as well, just so that we can, you know, get to the bottom of this. So this is a really low frequency sort of despair, isn't it? If you think of joy up here and peace and love, and then despair and apathy quite down, far down here, and you can feel that in your body. So
definitely
that kind of energy becomes self-defeating, because that same idea, life is suffering, is actually going to apply itself, and you're going to experience that idea through your spiritual practice. So this idea, let me try and say that in another way that might go in as well, even quicker. You'll experience this as a lack of health. Life is suffering. So having a body is suffering. That's what comes out of that belief, right? Well, I have a body, it's going to be in this condition. You're experiencing it through your body. You might have experienced it through difficult relationships too, maybe. And I don't know your situation. I'm just going to throw out a few ways that I experienced this belief too. And I also experienced it, and it might, I'm saying this because this is literally what's playing out for you right now as you ask this question, that life is suffering, then I have to fail at my spiritual practice to continue my suffering. Okay, can you see that? I have to try to do this practice, meditation, self-inquiry, contemplation, whatever it is, and fail. I have to forget the question, get distracted, things have to get worse to prove this belief to be true. Because if I stay with this question and take it all the way, I'm going to prove this belief untrue. As my body starts to feel better and my mood starts to feel just a little lighter with this question, then so these beliefs even play out in our actual awakening itself. So for me, life isn't fair. I can't get what I want. I'm not safe. I'm not good enough. It literally, I forgot the question I was supposed to be even asking in contemplation so that I could prove to myself, unconsciously, of course, I didn't, or not on purpose, that I'm just not good enough. Because if I held on to my question, I would come out of that, and then I couldn't sustain this idea any longer that I'm not good enough. Can you see it playing out in the actual practice itself? So just to see that is starting to break that loop. Of course, I can't find the right question, or can't remember it, or don't seem to, you know, be able to apply it. Or sometimes I can't even understand what she's talking about in lesson two. Like, I just literally cannot hear it. Because if I do, it'll get applied immediately on some level of my being. So this is where lesson two is already working. This question is already working for you, because you're starting to see it's playing out here in my actual spiritual practice too. Life is suffering. And anything I do that is going to bring me out of suffering, any practice I try to do that's going to bring me out of suffering, anything I try to do for the body that will make it feel better, anything I try to do for my emotions that make them feel better, has to fail with this belief behind it. Can you see that? Or just going to status quo, very slowly spiraling downhill, you know, some kind of. So I'm literally living this belief in all of my life, simultaneously, everywhere. But the good news of that, when you see it, is that when you see this, it starts to be transcended everywhere all at once. So this belief is just playing out everywhere in our physical body, in our finances, in our friendships, in our job, our career, in our awakening, in our spiritual practice. Like you probably, and I don't know, but it even plays out. People say, I can't get on the Zoom session. They've got the right link, the right password. Can't get the nugget emails through because whatever was coming in that nugget email was going to blast you out of suffering or something, have some insight or epiphany. But you literally cannot let that through. That's how powerful you are. When, as the infinite self, when this idea is, you're looking through this idea that life is suffering, so it's going to be very hard for us to experience anything else. That doesn't mean it's bad news. It just means now that we're having this conversation, it's evidence that you're already breaking through this. Because there's epiphanies happening from this conversation. You can see it clearer. And you would not, we would not have been able to be talking like this, you and I, if you were still stuck in that 100%. Can you see that? This is a different manifestation now, isn't it? What's happening to you right now is different than before, a different outcome. So the manifestation doesn't just suddenly shift. You wake up one morning and your body's completely healed and all your emotions are joyful and blissful. We have to notice these different manifestations that are starting. Here, this conversation is one. It's evidence for me that you're starting to really come out of this. And just to see, if you just hold on to this one sentence, that this belief, life is suffering, is playing out actually in my ability to contemplate. That's enough. If you just keep remembering that and you do nothing else for a couple of days, everything will start to shift. Because everything you do with this belief in place, nothing works, spiritually speaking, right? Or even physically, right? You've probably tried everything to help your body and nothing has really worked. And anything you do without this belief will be successful in healing the mind, the body, everything. So if, with this belief in place, nothing, the best doctors, the best spiritual teachers, everything doesn't matter. Nothing is, can be successful. Can you see that? The moment you start to come out of it, and the very fact that we're having this conversation, it's why I'm going over it several times. So I really want to get this in there before we stop talking. Everything is going to work then. You could go have a coffee with a friend and just say something profound, or you'll watch a TV program that you watch and one of the characters will randomly say something. Oh my God, massive insight. Just from randomly nowhere, you know, everything works then. Can you see you've been literally living this belief in every area of your life?
Yeah, definitely. It's not a constant, but overall in every in multiple areas, what you've shared, I can definitely say the same.
The plus side is of such a belief like this, if there is one, that it gets so bad that none of our life works, that we have to come out of it. And that's what's happening now. When it starts to threaten the physical survival of the body and things like that, the self goes, oh, no, I'm done with that now. I'm going to, you know, I'm bored of looking through this belief. Now I'm going to come out of it. We get stuck in, can you see that if you came and lived with me for a month and you had unlimited satsang, or you lived with the Buddha for a month or something, and you could ask every question and we could meditate together, everything. With this belief in place, you'd have to walk out the door at the end of that month exactly in the same. You might have some amazing experiences while you're here, and then you go back home after a month, right back into that same thing. You could, the opposite of that is true. You could, without this belief in place, you could talk to the postman and have an enlightenment happen right there about nothing, you know, just randomly, spontaneously. Because it's working, it's actually working, the way it's manifesting more than anything, this belief, the way you're experiencing it more than anything. And I'm spending a lot of time with this because everyone is living this belief in their spiritual practice. When some emotion comes up, some deep despair or fear, we all immediately go to, I'm doing something wrong. Why is this happening? So if I'm doing something wrong, we have to keep doing something wrong and our practice not actually bearing any fruit. So if the fact that you started to see this is magnificent. You're finally coming out of this. What's it like to do practice without this, to do contemplation without this belief in place? That's a good question, isn't it? Just to randomly, I'm just going to randomly remember this question every now and again. What's it like to do practice without this belief? I've had lots of experience of what's it like with this belief still firmly lodged in my being, like a thorn in your a splinter in your finger that you can't get out, right? You can never quite feel happy with that there.
Yeah.
So I haven't told you what to do. I've just kind of told you what to remember here. Can you get a sense of it?
Yeah, so you suggested a couple.
I keep experiencing this belief when I actually contemplate. I go, right, I'm going to sit down for 15 minutes with a cup of tea and ask my question. And then the doorbell rings or somebody calls you or something happens to interrupt your contemplation, or you forget the question, or you don't have time that day, or your body doesn't feel well enough, or, you know, 100,000 reasons why it doesn't happen. Can you see that's been playing out, something like that?
Yeah, I haven't even wanted to go there, actually.
Yeah.
Just because when I did, it was just too hard.
And why would you, with this belief there, that even my spiritual practice has to bring me suffering? Why would you even want to contemplate or meditate?
Yeah.
It shows the power of the self that you even made it to this course, right? With that belief still playing out. The truth is more powerful than any belief. And we're finding our way out of it. But some of them we've been living with for a long time. And we've been experiencing it so immediately as our experience, again, continuously. Not just, okay, I see that being every 6 months and every time I see them, I have a massive argument with them and they really push my buttons. This is just like a real-time, three-dimensional, ongoing experience of this belief, isn't it? Everywhere in my life.
It is.
Like I'm living inside this holographic experience, this virtual reality. Now I'm starting to come out and go, whoa, it's even affecting my spiritual practice. Whatever I believe to be true, not here, but somewhere in my gut, still really this feels true, this idea that life is suffering. And that's been believed so much that I've been experiencing it 24/7 and didn't really figure that out, you know? So the fact that we're having this conversation now is massive, absolutely massive.
So if I just want to maybe just restate what you said to summarize, just to make sure I understand, that you suggested that I just sit with or ask when I think of it for the next couple of days or so, what it would be like to contemplate without that belief.
Yeah. And you don't need to.
Would you? Even... And then after that. Yeah. Well, and then when it feels like I can, I suppose, or just to try it again, to actually start using that as my.
Yeah. Is it true this belief can stop me? Or this belief can stop me progressing or. You know, whatever feels most, you know, you can, your body will give you some feedback on what that, but you can see the general idea. You've been experiencing this idea and it seems to be stopping your practice, the effectiveness. So can anything stop contemplation? Is it true that anything can get in the way of that? So you might feel like you've asked this a couple of times and it's not really worked, but it is working. Can you see something is changing here? You're having a very different experience now than you have before with this. So just every now and again, as often as you want to, but don't make it hard work. I'm just gonna, what's it like to contemplate without this idea? I don't even know how to do that. I don't even know what that looks like. I don't need to. I'm just gonna, what's that like to not have this idea in the way? What's life like when I don't experience this idea? And I've put several forms of that question there, whichever one you feel But even if you forget everything that we've said, even if the moment we finish talking, it's gone and you can't access it, something fundamental has changed while we've been talking. Can you feel it?
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, I feel more open.
Yeah, the self has recognized what's actually been holding me back is not that I'm doing it wrong or anything like that. I'm not doing the practice right, which is probably what mind was saying, but I can't contemplate correctly. What's fundamentally changed is you, the self, the noumenon. You've come to say, this belief's playing out here too. And the fact that you can see that, you're getting a little distance from it now. You're not totally in it. It's more like in front of you happening. I can see that cycle now going around. So I'm coming out of it. So even if you forget everything that we've said, which might happen because, you know, the belief is the low frequency, you can watch it again, obviously. And I'd recommend just listening to this, watching this bit a couple of times, not trying hard with it. Just, I want to just hear that again. I want to hear that again. And I'm just going to remember my question when I can. And I'm going to forget about the results of it. Right? The results of contemplation may not come in the way that we expect. The first way they'll come is some experience that shows us, like you're having, right? Doesn't seem to be working. Okay, why is it not working? Because this belief is playing out. So, or we might see some other belief that's in the way, or we might have an epiphany that needs to happen before we can move forward. But it's always working, especially when it looks like it isn't. Like that question about the rage that came in, right? I'm really, you know, enraged by lesson two. It's not what I, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's always working because reality is always trying to move to the forefront. We're just getting out of the way of that. So don't try too hard with this. Yeah. See if you can have some more fun. Is there a funny movie that you like to watch? Something that makes you laugh. Is there something that makes you laugh? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't had a really good laugh in a while, but I can think about it. I can definitely come up with something.
Good. Because sure. If you do that for the next few days and just gently drop the question in there and forget it, just run the question through your head and then, okay, that's my work done. That's all I'm responsible for is remembering the question, not for anything else. And then I'm just going to laugh as much as I can, have fun. I'm going to watch a silly comedy or something that, you know, because part and parcel of this idea is trying really hard, isn't it? Really, really hard. Or something like that, being really serious. So if you just can access a little bit of, you don't have to have a serious belly laugh, of course, that will help if you do, but just something fun, you know, something fun. I'm just going to randomly rearrange my drawers, the contents of all my drawers in my bedroom because I want to. No other reason than that, or, you know, whatever, that might not be your idea of fun. I'm a bit weird. I'm going to shut up now before I embarrass myself, but see, we're already laughing. Moving on swiftly. Well, I only did that once, just so we're clear. But whatever makes you laugh, right? You know, playing with the cat, you know, laser pen, the cat chasing the laser pen around, whatever makes you, something funny on the TV or, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Good.
Thank you, Helen. Thank
but it's so already much. Done. It's done. Can you feel it? Something's changing.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Good. Good, good. Wonderful. Well done for putting your hand up. That's not easy to do when you feel that. So well done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Valerie, did you have another?
Well, I think you kind of covered it. It was a quick question just in general about contemplation, because I think I was misunderstanding. I thought I had to sit here until I came to the non-phenomenal answers. And it seems like it's more, you're just kind of...
Can do that. Or you can go to the supermarket and just knowing you're feeling more peaceful. And the supermarket is... the current answer that's happening, right? You know, some people, it's helpful to sit and spend some time, and I'm gonna really stay with this question. I'm gonna really stay with this question because that feels good. sometimes it's just easy if there's a lot of resistance around a particular question, like we were just talking about with Anna, just to drop the question in there and then forget about it, knowing that it'll, in my just getting on with, you know, feeling as good as I can, I'm open to epiphanies and ins, not ignoring the issue. It's just what's the best way to let these deeper answers come in? Mm-hmm. So I'm having a good old belly laugh. It might, you know, at some movie. Oh, I've just had this epiphany that I couldn't have while I was trying really hard to contemplate, you know, something like that. It's whatever feels best for you, right?
Yeah. Okay. I think I get so literal sometimes or want to follow the rules. Serious. I guess I need to.
That's normal. I mean, I did that. And everybody's mind takes contemplation as a doing. Okay. I do this like meditation. I sit down and I, you know, this is what I do. But it's more a way of being, isn't it? That might involve some sitting still with the question because it might just feel nice to do that. But it also might be more accessible if I can just go about my day randomly remembering the question in my break in the morning and lunch hour and whatever feels lighter. You get a sense for it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like meditation. It starts off as a doing, but it quickly turns into a being, a way of being.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Good question. I'm sure that helped a lot of people. Okay, we'll go to Frank, last but not least. Hi, Frank. You're muted there still.
Oh, hi.
There we
you
go.
You can hear me, right?
Yep.
Okay, thanks. So thank you so much. I wanted to ask you about I've been sitting in those questions. I've been loving really sitting in with those questions.
Yeah.
One of the ones that I've been working with is this feeling of not being good enough, which I've dealt with my entire life.
Yeah.
And I noticed that my mind, because I have a certain amount, my body has a certain amount of anxiety. I've had it forever. It's that question, it almost becomes like a compulsive thing. It's just like, it keeps going and going and going. And I can't just like ask the question and sit with it. It seems like it just keeps on going. The question keeps on coming around and coming around.
Yeah.
Almost like beyond my will, if you will.
It's just happening spontaneously, isn't it? The question.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And that's a good thing because we all think I'm the doer and I'm doing contemplation. But for me, certain questions just took on a life of their own. My mind would just become more and more obsessed with it. And it was just coming more and more spontaneously on its own without me having to even try to remember it. So that's always a good sign that you've got the best question. There isn't a right question to ask, but there's the right question for right now. And that'll be the one that something inside you gets a hold of and says, yeah, let's run with this. Let's take it forward. And that takes the hard work out of it as well, because you're not having to try to remember, you know, and like it's just coming up anyway as you move through your day.
Yes, yes. Great. Okay, that sounds really good that you're saying that it's okay. I was thinking there was something wrong with the way it was coming up.
You know, it's, mind is obsessive, isn't it? The way mind Yes. works is obsessive, and it'll either be obsessively thinking about, if your question is it true I'm not good enough? It's either going to be obsessed with that question or obsessed with thoughts about not being good enough, which will then set up the next cycle of experiences of not being good enough. So mind's obsessive, that's what it does. So we're just giving it something healthy to obsess over here. So
yes.
Nothing is going wrong. We're just kind of noticing how singularly focused the mind can be when it wants to be on something. And that's a useful thing in the end.
There's a fear of like never getting this. Like I'll never get past this belief that I'm not good enough. And it's a real fear that comes up.
Yeah.
So I just got to let that go. Just keep let it like any thought, just kind of look at it and just let it go, right?
Yeah, but also you could shift your question to that now. Maybe you've used this question, is it true I'm not good enough? And you've used it so well that it's led to this next question. Is it true I'm never going to get beyond this?
Exactly.
How does that feel? Is it true I'm never going to be free of this? What does that one feel like when you say that inside yourself? Does it have some resonance?
It does. There is an opening up there. Yeah, there is. I really like that.
So, if the sort of thing seems to shift, just checking out if that feels better, this new question feels better, and there's an opening, you've said. So that's your natural guidance system saying, okay, we've used that question up completely. We've done as much as we can. Now this one is more, because you might know on some level that you are good enough, but this keeps coming back. So the real pattern underneath this is, I'm just never going to be free of my mind, ever. That's just never going to happen. Can you feel that kind of, and everyone has this, right? So
yes.
This is a very direct question. Is it really true? I'm never going to get out of this. It really directly challenged everything that was really coming up for me. And it was powerful, powerful question. Mm.
Yes, I'll go to that, definitely.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much, Helen. Appreciate it. I love being on this satsang. Thank you. And I'm so glad I took this course. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Okay, so wonderful place to leave it there for now. And before we finish, just to remind you that you can send in stuff for next Thursday's Q&A, which is back in the morning, UK time, 11 a.m. UK time on Thursday. So questions and things need to be sent in by 11 a.m. on Wednesday, and UK time, of course. And if they miss that deadline, they'll roll over into the next one, so it's okay. And I'll see you Sunday if you can make it live. If you can't, it'll be recorded 2 p.m. for lesson 3. And we're going to go deep into some very practical self-inquiry just to really lift us out of the reach of the mind. And it's always a powerful lesson anyway, lesson 3, but the momentum is building now. And I guarantee you, if you feel you're not getting anywhere, that you really are, because the self is waking up. Don't take what your mind thinks. Your mind will never get it. So don't take that as evidence. Something that drew you to this course is also waking up, and it cannot be stopped. So well done for sending in things that are difficult and challenging, and for asking live here. It's not easy to do, I know. So deeply appreciate it. Everyone's questions and challenges help everyone. Probably experience that live on this class, that whatever anyone asks, it has something in it for each of us, doesn't it? For myself included, definitely. So I am not going to go and organize my drawers, definitely. Thank you. Namaste.